Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Orly Benny Davis and this is From Jerusalem with Love. Today is August 15, 2018 and we are here in Israel, the Holy Land, sending all our prayer to our beloved land of Italy, to the people of Genoa that suffer such a bad blast with the collapse of the bridge. We all hope that you guys get it together and be better, and we hope that all the wounded will get well soon. We are so sorry for the loss of life, and I know that 15th of August is Ferragosto in Italy. It's supposed to be a time of festivity, but that's life and that's what happens sometimes. So every time we celebrate something, we have to remember that there is somebody else in the other side of the moon that suffers. So we're holding still with them and hoping that it'll be better soon. Now, we are living now in the time of transformation, a time that there is a change, and we are constantly reminded that there is a threat out there, and that threat is the cybersecurity world that we all, you know, negate to recognize and negate to do something about it, and we think that it's okay. And sometimes, you know, the guidance is not really clear of where should we go, so we all kind of a limbo where what's gonna happen. So today we're gonna have a wonderful guest, John Villanueva, my friend, my hero from Virginia, and he is gonna talk. I'm gonna recognize him on after the break. And we're going to be there, and we're going to take his, you know, conversation and his advice, and whatever he has to give us, we'll be happy to listen to, because with him, we're better off. So stay put. We're going to be back after the break. All right? Looking forward. Thank you.
John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis, and this is From Jerusalem with Love. As I promised you, we have one of my best friends, the hero of my life sometimes, because he saved me on the right time. And today, John Villanueva is a vice president of Armor Text. Armor Text provides an encrypted enterprise, a collaboration and messaging to 16 critical infrastructure sectors and regulation industry to help protect their sensitive conversation and to respond to the network cyber attack. John Villanueva is a former national security professional and an army man, a man that you can trust that doing the right thing at the right time like he does today. John Villanueva, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Orly. So wonderful to be on with you and your guests.
Thank you so much for coming here. And, you know, I was talking before about the fact that we are all exposed. people don't know, but we are in the middle of a war, a cyber war. The enemy of liberty, the enemy of freedom is trying to destroy us. And we are here trying to understand what's going on. Can you help us understand a little?
Sure. One of the things that has happened today, Orly, is that you now have not only your common thief involved in cyber, but you have nation-state assets, right? You have actual countries and former military professionals involved in hacking into corporate systems and right. using that information to trade on the open exchange, the time stock trade. You have ransomware being deployed as a way of making money by locking up corporate systems and individual systems and then demanding payment versus via Bitcoin. It has become a very profitable venture. It's not just about disrupting your day-to-day operations or making your life miserable. It's actually a profit-driven enterprise.
Of course, they're all coming after some kind of power. If power to change the solution or anything that can influence something. And if they can influence Wall Street, think about everything else that we are connected to, like the grid, you know, the infrastructure, something that you're handling, I guess, that it's so impossible for us to understand why the government. Why the world, you know, organized, United Nations and all, don't do anything to help us, provide a solution for that?
Well, I think it's something that's very difficult to protect against. One, because you can have very secure systems, but the weakest link is always the user, right?
Right.
Because the user, you have to provide users access to the system. It's just like when you're logging on to your email. Your email provider may provide excellent defenses, but once you log on, right, you're a trusted individual and you're in the system. And so cyber defenses are really split into three categories, or what I call a defense in depth strategy. You have the individual, you have the software, and you have the hardware, right? A lot of companies are hacked into because they're unaware that the people installing hardware are also installing hardware that creates vulnerability, right? Or the folks installing software are installing software or not keeping software up to date or downloading malicious software into the system that then creates vulnerabilities. And then on the user end of it, people receive emails every day, right? Like you said, you and I were talking before before we came on about the Nigerian prince, right? Who sends you an email and says, hey, listen, I've got a deal that you can't refuse. On that end, people send all kinds of attractive emails. And those emails typically have links in them. And when you click on that link, it downloads a malicious packet, right? Software, a virus that then infects the system. And so you can imagine that when you're trying to secure across all of those areas, you have to be right 100% of the time, and the hacker only has to be right once.
Once.
Right?
So
it makes it a little harder.
And not just this, after the penetrate, you don't know where they are. And if they did, you know, it's something that it's bogus to all of us. We can't trace them. That's why, you know, we are putting so much investment into learning how to protect or teaching the people, the technical people to learn how to prevent those traps. Because they put us a trap. Every mail can be a trap to a cyber attack.
That's right. Security awareness training is very important. Most companies neglect that, and they neglect that at their own peril. Because the weakest link in the system is if you're a company and you have, 100 employees, That's 100 points of entry into the system. And if you're not training those people, keeping them informed, if they're not sharing lessons learned, it's going to be very difficult to defend against a cyber attack because each and every one of them is an entry point. A good example is that we recently dealt with a client that had their systems infected. And the way that the client got their systems infected was because they at a flea market of some type, they were actually giving away flash drives that you could plug into your system. And the people that picked up those flash drives and went home or went to work and plugged that into the system, plugged that into the computer thinking that it was safe, actually downloaded ransomware. And it froze those systems. And so that was, you know, that was avoidable, right? But it would have taken some training and awareness on behalf of the employees so as to not, you know, warning them that this is a common attack. This is a common way that people get attacked. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to attack a specific company, all you would do is reverse engineer what their daily habits were of its employees. And if you found out that they were going to a particular coffee shop, then at that coffee shop, you would give away free flash drives. And that employee, at least one of them, you know, the law of averages, if you've got 100, all you need is one person to take that flash drive back to work and plug it into the system, and you've downloaded a malicious packet.
Wow. And now they also do it through the telephones, you know, they don't even have to be plugged in. They by Bluetooth, I think, they can connect and get into the system. That's
yes, indeed. Or you can receive a text message, and that message may have a link to it or an attachment, and you click on that, and it downloads a virus onto the phone.
And then there are the legal
viruses too. Right, which most people don't think about. The fact that when you download an application from the Internet, let's say Google Store or the Apple Store, that some of those applications are created with the intent to monitor your behaviors or to get vital data off of your phone or your device. And a while back, one of the cases that was brought to light was that there was this free download of a flashlight. They would turn your iPhone into a flashlight. And that software, when it was downloaded, then actually gathered all the data that you were inputting into your phone and then shared that data with a hacker, right? And so there's something that seems very innocent that creates a tremendous vulnerability. And there are many apps, which is why the App Store on the Apple Store and at the Google Store, that they said, hey, listen, this app is no longer supported, right? Or we recommend you remove this application from your phone, is because it took them a little while to realize that was happening.
I'm telling you, we are not really informed. We don't know what's going on exactly because, you know, the phone is such a high risk because people doing their finance through the transaction to the bank through an their iPhone. So I'm telling you guys all, we need to get together and talk about it, you know, seriously, what are we going to do as world, you know, as a global, because Google cannot just unleash, you know, this system on us and don't protect us. We need to, for them to take responsibility. Once they're connected, they have to be responsible too. Now, we have only a little bit before the break. I want you to keep on talking to you after the break. Let me ask you, Do you realize that there were like 145 million on records attacks on, you know, leaks on this attacks only in June 2018? Do you understand that all our record is out there and is exposed with all our database?
Yes, there's a great statistic out there, and it's in, I think it's
I think it's as high as 7 billion files of personnel information was leaked over the last 2 or 3 years, right? So,
let's go to a break. John, we're going to a break and we'll be there after the break, okay?
Okay.
All right.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis, and I'm so happy to have John Villanueva here. John Villanueva, a former national security practitioner, I guess, and a soldier. He knows about aggravated attack. And sometimes you don't have to be, you know, attacked by guns. You can be attacked by cyber because it can make, a lot of damage. Can make damage to the privacy, can the honor, and also to the bank accounts, for that matter. So let's go back. John, we were talking about the fact that the big company like Google neglected to protect us. Is that something that we can start regulating and think about it in a big scheme of thing?
So here's what happened. And during the break, you and I were talking about how the phone company cannot eavesdrop on your conversation. But
right.
Google and Facebook and others basically can monitor or record your conversation and use that.
Which
they
is
can
the
monetize
same.
It. They can mine the data, build a profile, and sell your data to advertisers. The way that happens is that people, when you're signing those user agreements, almost nobody reads that. But
right.
You're consenting to them being able to use your private information or the information being placed on their network for their purposes. So the consumer, and this is individuals and companies, are consenting to this, okay, when they decide
right.
to use the software. Now, there are almost no opt-out provisions. And recently, there was an article that said even when you opt out, companies like Google continue to use that privacy information.
Right, and they keep on monitoring you. You know, you can get disconnected, but they always know where you are. It's amazing. They trace where you're going. They give me a map after, you know, after
on their phone. And so even if you opt out in one application, you may not have opted out in the other. So it continues to track you.
Okay, so we must call the baby.
We have to be very aware and very selective.
But it's not about no. Yeah, remember we used to have this routine with the credit card. They used to write their little words that nobody reads, and then the government set them straight. You see, the fact that we are signing and we don't read at all, it doesn't mean that they can cheat us from our privacy, because the privacy of livelihood, it's embedded in the rule of the law. You see, yeah, they cannot override the law just because somebody checked in. It's something. It's tricky, but I'm sure that our legislator can get around it, because it's impossible to let this giant, but we're talking giant, massive, Google networking We cannot let them go free without any responsibility, at least to check, to make a door lock or something to the internet before, between, you know, the dark net and the regular net. They need to do that at least.
Right? I couldn't agree more with you. The government should mandate across the board that certain defenses be put in place by internet service providers. They should mandate. There should be some type of minimum standard. And there should also be some privacy requirements. You should not have to opt out
of certain
things. Or you should have the option where it pops up on the screen when you first download and says, you are opting into the following. If you don't want to opt into the following, you have the following choices. The way the companies manipulate that is that they say you either opt in or you can't use it, right? And the average consumer, if that's the choice, I either opt in to let you exploit my privacy information or I can't use the service at all. In an age when all of us are using the internet, is a very difficult choice for some people, right? For me personally, a lot of times I'm so selective on what I download and what I use that I do just choose not to use certain things because I understand the implication.
Right. You know what's going to happen.
Even then, I'm irritated by it.
I think that we let them off the hook too easy because our regulators or legislators, the one in charge, didn't take the time and the effort to really call it in. And, you know, all this charade of Facebook, you know, Mr. Zuckerberg coming before the Congress, it was ridiculous because he just let them hear whatever they wanted to hear. But, you know, it's like you cannot treat such a nice guy badly because he's saying all the right thing. The fact of the matter, they expose us, they put our life in risk, and we're not talking about, you know, a random picture or something. We're talking about incredible information that can be consequently damaging to a nation, to people, to countries, to elections, to a president election. You know, you can't stop that. You need to make some. You have to hold them responsible. And I'm all with the big guys. You know, I love big companies, and I love when, you know, the economics is booming. I like to make international business, etc. But I know that when you do that, you need also to take that sort of responsibility to control or to train. At least legislate that the companies need to train those people when they take the money on the, you know, credit card from you. When you pay, at least you know that that credit card information is safe. Not because somebody will push the button and then it's all over the net.
Well, yep, there are some complicated issues and we have to kind of segregate them out. But there is a degree of responsibility that companies should have, like Facebook, for instance, and Twitter.
Right.
These are large social media platforms that build very specific profiles of the individuals that use their platform. And in the last election, what we saw was that there were Russian assets that were using those profiles to actually send messages out to either suppress the vote or either increase voters in certain areas, okay, or polarize and divide people along political or prejudices or, you know, a whole host of things.
That's what they did in Italy. You know that there is an investigation in Italy going on because what it means, they found that there were attacks like this and coming on remote. You know, they find the hub and they remotely send the messages from it. And one of the hubs are from Israel too. They found it that, you know, they were sending messages through Israel. And I'm saying, oh my goodness, we are, you know, being also blamed for somebody else's routine when they use our platform to launch an attack to somebody else. That's even worse. you can't
That's
even
right. One of the things that can happen is that you can infect a number of systems, right, inside of a country or inside of a county or a company, and then you can use those systems, that MAC address, to send a message, almost like a VPN, okay? And so it looks like it's all coming from Italy, but really, or from Israel, but it's originating, let's say, in Russia, right? Passing through the system in Israel,
India, China,
Italy.
All the good guys, all the good guys are having a party, and we are watching. Right now, we and I'm happy that you are part of it, and I'm also too. I'm helping, tutoring, and helping those people to prevent them from going on and getting attacked. Now, we have 3 minutes or less than that to the break, but after the break, I want to talk to you about the Middle East a little, or the Donald Trump, or whatever you feel like it's good, because the cyber attacks is good and exists. It's a new thing. We need to give some to the awareness. But after all, we're in the middle of, we're pre-election. I don't know if they're going to terminate the investigation on Donald Trump before the election, so they cannot, influence the midterm and for the Republican or the Democratic Party. And we have also the Middle East, the craziness that never stop, and the incredible Turkey-American standoff, something that, we predicted that it's going to happen, but it's happening, and it's awesome to view and to understand that right now we're in the middle of a global scrimmage, we can say, right?
Oh, yeah.
we're in scrimmage time.
There's a show on Showtime called The Circus, and it's about the political what's going on in Washington today and with Donald Trump. And it's a really great, name for a show, The Circus, because that's what it has really become, right? I mean, there's all forms of entertainment taking place on all ends, all of it detrimental to, America's image abroad,
image,
national security,
of course,
the political process,
of
and
course,
the electorate as a whole.
All right. Hold still, John, because we have 30 seconds to go, and we're going to go to a break, and we're going to be after that. I'm so happy to have you here. Let's go to a break, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis, and this is From Jerusalem with Love. We are so happy to have John Villanueva with us, and we are talking about cybersecurity, about the USA, and we are so happy to welcome our guest and listener from all over the world. We have friends from United States, Israel, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, Belgium, Germany, Argentina, South Africa, Austria, and Brazil. So happy to have you here listening to us. And John Villanueva is a faithful soldier of the good people, a good soldier that worked hard and worked really well for the United States, but to the world in general. He's a faithful man, he's a man of trust, and I call him my hero, because he been through a lot, and he can teach us some. So make sure that after that, check his profile, John Villanueva, and see if you can connect with him. He is worth it. Now, John, let's go back to our beloved American American politics, something that I love and I miss so much. And, you know, the fight between the GOP and the DNC, it's not easy to be there, out there these days, right?
No, it really isn't. We have a very divided political system, and the electorate is suffering as a result of it.
Right. They cannot have a system like support them. They see like a kindergarten fighting with each other all constantly.
Yes. I mean, we've genuinely never had anything like this in American history, right? There have been some contentious presidential elections. There have been presidents that the media or the opposition have bashed. Jefferson was one great example. Lincoln was another. Ulysses S. Grant came under a tremendous amount of scrutiny. But we've never had a president that put himself in a position to be an adversary to the institutions of government and to alienate a segment of the electorate, right? The American people, divide them up into those that are with me and those that are against me, right? Those that are support my agenda and those that we consider an enemy. And we've actually never had a president that attacked the press so openly and declared
the media
an enemy of the state or an enemy of the people. This is new territory. This is uncharted waters for the United States. And I would say that we're at a crossroads now, one, because we have to decide what type of a nation are we going to be. Are we going to live up to our highest ideals as a people, or are we going to fall into a state of moral and ethical decline where we treat our fellow Americans differently as a result of their ethnicity or race or political affiliation?
But, you know, I know that Donald Trump is brutal. I know. It's no question about that. But let's give one thing. Let's consent on one thing. They attacked him before he even came to office. They didn't give him one day of grace. They didn't give him the opportunity. And I'm always standing with the president of the United States because that's the way we are. We love the system. The American system inspired the whole world. And I am as a citizen, but that came to be a citizen, and I live overseas. I can only stay always in awe to the American people, to the respect that we have here for you guys. You don't understand that you guys are the beacon of light for us, because with you we are safe, with you we are strong, with you we can trust of our good friends. And to see you fighting, it's beneath you all, you know, because you're too much. You're a great nation, and I love you all, and you know that, how much I respect you. And I know that sometimes people don't agree with each other, but they need to let the system be, because Hillary Clinton didn't leave, you know, that position. She didn't lose the election. She tried to blame it on the Russian and on Donald Trump. You know, she just lost an election because she got investigated 10 days before. You know, that's what's happening. That's life. We need to step up and make sure that, you know, I want you, John, because you're part of the system. You're part of those people who can be smart and calm them down. We need Americans strong, because look at this. They're standing up with Iran now, all the European Union. They're standing up with Iran. They're not siding with America. The Germans supposed to side with America. They decided that they're going to continue make business with Russia. Turkey is standing up to America. Turkey, who is Turkey to stand up for America? You know, there were days that, you know, like America just raised the phone and it's over. We need, you know, this happened, this kind of fighting happened when Bush got elected and 9/11 came. So I am your sister. I am your friend. I am your one that trust and love and pray for America. I am calling you guys to fix this because I remember 9/11. I remember what happened to Bush after he got the Al Gore lost. It was the same routine, and they came after us. And we had to send 10 years of war in Iraq, soldier killed, because we had to go and find the source of this attacks. Now, did we learn from the past? Did we learn from our lesson? Now, after I lecture you so much, John, say something.
That's a lot to unpack. What I would say is that if you look at American history, right,
yes,
politics has become more belligerent beginning in the 1980s and proceeding regardless of who was the president. The politics have become more belligerent since the 1980s, and that has progressed to the point where we now have Donald Trump. The world order, the international order, it was disrupted by 9/11, but also because of our response to 9/11, right?
Right.
I mean, the response to 9/11 was not well thought out. And
right.
This war, which is now going into its 17th year in Afghanistan and the 15th or 16th year in Iraq, and now you have several years of engagement in Syria. Okay, these wars have destabilized the international order. The difficulties or the inability to deal with our NATO allies and the world in a way that instills confidence, that provides leadership and direction, right, and that takes into consideration all of the interest of all of the players at the table is truly troubling us here today in
yes.
terms of the international order and politics. NATO, Trump has genuinely alienated NATO. He is unskilled at diplomacy. And his being unskilled at diplomacy and perhaps what many suspect, and I must confess that I also suspect, that he's a controlled asset on behalf of the Russians, because it makes no sense to dismantle this relationship with NATO.
No, he didn't. You know, let's say NATO actually are the one that, you know, Germany, the one that sponsor Russia. It's not America. America, that, you know, and he came to NATO and said to the German, you guys cannot sponsor a gas pipe through you and pay it for the Russian when you are actually active member of NATO. He actually called them off. It's not. It's the opposite.
A misunderstanding of what NATO is. Germany and Europe, they have energy requirements, right? Just like Israel, just like the United States, they have to power their light industry, right? Build roads. There's a need for natural gas, oil.
You see, every time, right? I love to speak to you, and we run out of time, John. Again, we have to call each other and start talking, because this is like major league situation, and we just ran out of time. We have to salute everybody, and we didn't have a chance even to say hello to Larry in the chat room, that is such a faithful friend of ours, and he talks to us about everything all the time, and we didn't pay attention to him, but he listened very carefully. And John, it will be back with us soon, because he is a fantastic teacher, and we love to learn. John, thank you so much for coming to the show. I'm going to keep on, let's talk later. I'm sending all my best to you and all your family and to America, my beloved. And please be safe. Have a wonderful summer. Enjoy yourself. You know, life is great. Be good, guys. Be good, all. John, I'm
all right.
letting you
Thank
give
you,
the,
Orly.
The last
Thank
word.
Thank you, listeners. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
You're wonderful. Thank you so much. All right, guys. We're going to be back next week. Hasta la vista, as Mr. Schwarzenegger used to say. Okay? Goodbye. Ciao, ciao.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.